that we have done. We think about concerning the privilege and opportunity to think about that we're one body in Christ. If we are Christians, we are one body in Christ. And the fact that we can have unity in the gospel. Appreciate so much Antoine and his preaching of the gospel. A lot of talent and ability. So very thankful for men such as that will be useful in the service of our Lord. May we never get too smart for the Lord to think that we're better, that we can think up better things than the change agents that are out there. Intelligent, smart, use persuasive arguments, but not according to the Scriptures. Let us beware, brethren. Thankful again for privilege and opportunity you have given me to preach the gospel again. As we have talked about the devices of the devil, we've talked about convenience or conviction. This morning we're going to talk about important choices in life. We know we have many choices in our lives. We think about concerning the fact that as we go to school, that we have multiple choice tests. There are electives that you can take. Whatever you desire to do, you can take this certain elective. As you think about concerning your everyday life, as you think about going to the buffet where you might eat today, and you're going to have a choice as to what you're going to eat, whether it's salad or a steak, whatever it's going to be, you can choose it. You can have it, whatever you desire. We think about concerning the choices that we have in this life. And as a result, many come to religion and think that I have many, many choices. But brethren, friend, there's only two choices that you have. We as Americans, we don't like to be limited to choices. We got all those brands that we can choose from out there. We can choose the cheapest. We can choose the most expensive. But there's only two choices in religion. We think about concerning this fact as we talked about important choices in life this morning. The scripture that was read in your hearing in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. You just think and you contemplate concerning the scripture and how narrow it is. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, what says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey? Two choices. Either of sin resulting in death. Does anybody here want that? Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Those are the only two choices. Think about concerning the fact that if we do not choose to serve God, we choose to serve the devil. You know, somebody might say, you know, concerning their life, that, well, I'm going to delay and think that that's not a choice at all. Don't we think that way? The devil gets us to think that way. We're going to make the choice. We're going to make the decision later on. Those who are of an accountable age, you have made a choice whether you're going to serve God or whether you're going to serve the devil. Now, the difficulty is concerning we have many, many children here. And as we think about concerning our children, they're not born in sin, as the religious world would teach us. They're innocent before God. Jesus said, unless you're converted and become like little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But there comes a time where they're going to make the choice. They're going to make the decision to sin. And they hear the preaching of the gospel concerning what age is it going to be? What decision? And sometimes the peer pressure comes. When are you going to be baptized? When are you going to be baptized? And see, I know that that happens because that happened to me. When are you going to be baptized? Brother was about 6 months before, and now it's your time. The young people are pressuring me. You need to be baptized. And so what do? People told me to be baptized. Well, I'll be baptized. But I didn't have any conviction. I didn't have conviction that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I wasn't willing to repent of my sins. But I'll be baptized because of the peer pressure. And how many have done that? You think about concerning how many have done that and then deceive themselves, just the denominations. I'm okay because I did. I was baptized. Now, is baptism the full plan of salvation? No, it's not. As we talked about, Antoine just talked about concerning all the facts of the gospel. We've got to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to have conviction that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that. But you know, the hardest command many times is concerning repentance. That's much more difficult than baptism, if you think about it. I've got to change my life. I've got to change my way of thinking. Now, see, when I was 14, I didn't want to do that. Now, you think about concerning the arguments that the devil give you. I talked about that on Friday night. Well, the devil give me the argument. Look at those who are 2 years older than me. You know that they have this great knowledge of the Bible. They're prepared for Bible class, but you know what? They're living like the world. They're living like the devil. And they come in all sweet, and we're religious now. And then when we go out tomorrow, we're living like the world. Sexual immorality. Sinful, wicked things. See, I could use all these excuses. It wasn't until many years later, until I was 28 years old, that I obeyed the gospel of Christ. Going into the Navy, living in sin for a long period of time. God is not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so you know what? I was serving the devil all those years, whether I realize it or not. And many people are serving the devil, and might be members of the Lord's body, and think that they're right before God. Because I did what the preacher said to do. I gave in to the peer pressure, and I was baptized as a result. You look in Acts chapter 19. You think about that passage in Acts chapter 19. You look in that passage of Scripture. You notice here concerning the question here, Paul, it had mentioned concerning Apollos. He taught wrongly on baptism. He only knew the baptism of John. So what was the result? Well, there were some disciples who only knew the baptism of John. Concerning what people are taught is many times what they're going to follow and not question. Now, he was taught the way of God more accurately, but concerning these disciples at Ephesus, here they asked the question concerning, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized at the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, what did they do? They heard the truth of the matter. They had the conviction, oh, it's too difficult to change. You know, I've done that a long time ago, and it was fine. It was right. Wasn't John's baptism all right? Well, this is past the cross, wasn't it? They had to be baptized in the name of Christ. And when they heard that, what did they do? Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's the authority. So would you think about it concerning examining your life? Concerning some baptized at a young age, baptized because of their parents, grandparents, whatever it might be, and never think about it, consider, did they do what was right the first time? You weren't baptized scripturally, you're serving the devil. That's what it comes down to. We're either serving God or serving the devil. We think about concerning the fact that we as young, when we're young, we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Because the whole point is that we have the Scriptures in our mind. If we as parents are bringing our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, they're going to recognize concerning sin. They're going to recognize concerning sin results in death. And they're going to come to the decision concerning and having that conviction and obeying the gospel of Christ. We can't make it for them. As much as we might want to, we cannot make that decision for them. They're going to answer for themselves. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We're going to be like the denominations. And just, we're going to do it for the children, you know, when they sprinkle as babies or a young child. They've got to make the decision. So as we think about concerning our lives, the problem is concerning sin. So when it comes down to it, will you serve God or the devil? You do not choose to serve God. What it comes down to is you choose to serve the devil. How many of you desire to choose to serve the devil? How foolish that is. We talked about all his devices on Friday night. Who would want to serve the devil? And yet, the devil is so deceptive, isn't he? I'll just wait till later on. I got plenty of time. You may not have another day. You need to be prepared right now. Choose to serve God, who has been giving you time and opportunity to make your life right before him. What did you talk about concerning important choices in life? You might first think about concerning who will you be friends with? Who are you going to choose for your friends? Where are you going to choose those? You're going to choose those who you like, who have similar and common interests to, aren't you? And thus you go off and you'll talk to your friends. Now, what about concerning their character? Have you considered their character? Now, see, this is where we as parents can help our children. Concerning this boy or this girl, you know, they're a bad companion. They're going to cause you to do evil, sinful, and wicked things. Now, I ask a question concerning, are they wise or are they foolish? In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, the scripture says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." See, I can think about all those companions in the military. And you know what happened as a result? I would just became just like them. I would curse and swear just like them, because you're going to follow whoever your friends are. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to follow. That's what you're going to imitate in your life. But you know what? You choose people that are wise. There are very wise people here. The opportunity to hear those men preach, to get acquainted with you, there are very wise people here to associate with. Believe me, in many other places, you might have 20, 30, 40 individuals. Very few people to associate with. You are very, very blessed here. There are very wise people with here. Choose to walk with those who are wise, who will encourage you to do the things that are right rather than suffer the companion of fools. Bad company corrupts good morals. There's a son of a gospel preacher. Being in Texas, you may not have heard concerning this, but Ricky Blackman, he's a son of a gospel preacher. Running around with the wrong crowd, and you know what? Got into drugs, murdered an individual, and you know what? He suffered the death penalty as a result. The son of a gospel preacher, and he was already a Christian. Said, well, he didn't obey the gospel. He was already a Christian when he did these things. Now, he recognized concerning where he had gone wrong, and he couldn't change what had happened, that horrible, heinous act that he had done. He couldn't change that. But he repented, he changed, and as a result, he preached the gospel to those who are prisoners. And I thank God concerning those prisoners here, that you have been an influence upon many prisoners here, I understand. 7 been baptized. Great influence that you can be among those who are prisoners, because here they are stuck behind prison. Hardened criminals, I understand this is maximum security prison that you all go to. And so they aren't going anywhere. They can hear and obey the gospel of Christ. But see, they're not worthy. Were they worthy on the day of Pentecost? Some people might say and reject concerning why are you going off to those prisoners that are evil, wicked, sinful. Who did Jesus die for? He died for everyone, didn't he? He died for those who crucified him on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And some of these people, or many of these people, may have murdered individuals. But God isn't willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. So I thank God for that work that you are doing. But getting back to our point concerning, what about your friends? Are they wise or are they foolish? Because you may not recognize concerning this. You run around with the wrong crowd, and you'll do things you never thought you would do. Never see the end of the consequence of your actions or running around with the wrong crowd. Are they wise or are they foolish? Well, what about their language? Is their language graceful or shameful? In Ephesians 4 and verse 29. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. He said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good. For what? Good for edification according to the need of the moment. So that will give grace to those who hear. You think about concerning the tongue and how easy it is to just slip and just concerning your friends and allow that to slip into our speech. Just think about concerning the Navy. There had to be some corrections in my life. I obeyed the gospel of Christ and I had to change my speech and to speak words of grace to other people. Are you speaking words of grace? Are your friends? Or do they curse and they swear? Do they tell dirty and filthy jokes and you laugh along with them? What about your friends? Is their language graceful or is it shameful? Do they speak lies or do they tell the truth? In Ephesians 4, verse 25, he says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Are they speaking lies or are they telling the truth? The thing that's important concerning that, as you think about concerning others and how they're going to gossip, and you tell one of your friends who isn't a Christian or isn't really faithful to keep that a secret, and it's going to spread like wildfire, isn't it? Do they speak lies or do they tell the truth? We want those friends who are going to tell us the truth. Are your friends telling the truth, or are they speaking lies? Another thing is, are they quick, or are they slow to anger? In James chapter 1, in verse 19 and 20, notice what the Word of God says there. In James 1, in verse 19 and 20, notice what James says. He said, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." It doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. You go back to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression." You hang around with a hot-tempered man, those who are quick or slow, quick to anger, you're going to find yourself that same way. You get in their way, and you just never know what's going to happen. It's just amazing concerning those girls who would choose boyfriends. It's amazing, now, as I'm here in my society, you know, girls are just looking for those who are sinful and wicked and evil and treat them terrible. That's the kind of boys that they're looking for. And here's a boy, he's trying to do what's right, and he can't find a good girl today because they're not looking for that. How sad. You think about concerning, are they quick or slow to anger? You think about concerning how dangerous it is, and hot-tempered men, and being beaten, and just accepting that, or even in the marriage relationship. So are your friends, are they quick or are they slow to anger? We talked about this in much detail last couple nights, briefly. Do they dress modestly or not? We are known by our dress. In Proverbs 7, verse 10, talks about the dress of a harlot. Concerning the dress of a harlot, we're known by the way that we're dressed. Do they dress modestly or not? Because the pressure is going to come down to, I'm going to desire to dress like them, or I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to fit in with the crowd. What about your friends? Do they dress modestly or not? Well, are they involved in illegal activities, or do they abstain from it? We think about concerning, we talked about social drinking. We talked about that. You know, think about concerning some, we think, well, you know, drinking is legal as far as America goes. But recognize concerning the fact that, I quoted the statistic, I guess at least 80%, I was reading concerning 90%. About 90% will drink a beer or drink alcohol by the time they're a senior in high school. And every single one of them are not only breaking God's law, they're breaking the laws of America. You're not supposed to drink under the age of 18, but see, everybody does it. So are they involved in illegal activities? Are you thought to ask concerning that? Well, sure, it's going to come out. Or do they abstain from it? Well, look at those passages in Proverbs 23 and verse 29 concerning the evil and sinful, wicked effects. But you never tried it. Why don't you try it? Don't you recognize concerning, you know, how good it's going to make you if you remember he talked about that, the devil and the way he deceives us? Has God really said you shall not drink any alcohol? Look at the effects of that in Proverbs 23, verse 29 and following. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. What about your friends? Who your friends are many times will determine your direction in life. Because what happens is, you know, we turn away from our parents and we turn to our peers. Walk with wise men and you will be wise. It's been said that you will talk. Like your friends, dress like your friends, and act like your friends. But you walk with wise men, and you will be wise. Another thing is, and we'll mention this one just briefly, you know, concerning what kind of job or occupation will you have. Think about concerning, you know, you can't work in the government and not be corrupt. You know, all you have is corrupt politicians out there. It's recognized we're not far from Washington, D.C. We got all these dishonest politicians up there. Even concerning the government. Look at the example of Daniel. They couldn't find any crime or corruption in him. They had to dig something up that would have to oppose God. And so you can't pray to God for 30 days. Notice that he had the conviction to stand up for what is right. Even though the law said, you know, you can't do it, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to pray to God always. You recognize how blessed we are in this country? We have the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not like that in other places. It's not like that in China and other places where some, even Christians, are in jail. Those that are being persecuted overseas. Do we take this for granted? We think about concerning what kind of job we have, the importance of that. Are we meant to seek the kingdom of God first concerning the job or occupation that we choose concerning the future? We went into that to detail last night. We'll allow you to assemble with the saints regularly. We'll allow you to keep a good conscience. We'll allow you time to be a husband and father, or you're going to be working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. We got a member back home, and he's just changed jobs, and he wasn't able to make it to our gospel meeting. We depend upon him heavily. We just have a few men, and he's our best song leader, and we missed him throughout the week. Going through this job change, he's got him working 12 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week, and as a result, can't make it. What about being a husband and a father? Will your job allow you to be time to be a husband and a father? What about concerning, will it allow you time to be a wife and mother? Think about concerning the first responsibility. Antoine went into good detail. All right, concerning the husband and the wife's roles, a father and a mother, and the responsibilities that we have at home. Think about concerning whatever job you choose, do not compromise your faith. Daniel didn't. He prayed to God. He was cast in the lion's den, and God took care of him, didn't he? God will take care of you if you put the kingdom of God first. Now, you think about concerning this point. This is the saddest thing in churches of Christ today, even in sound, non-institutional churches of Christ, concerning how many will marry non-Christians, will not even think about or consider or ask questions that are very important. I know because I've been asked, and I refuse now to marry a Christian or a non-Christian because I've seen the evil and godliness, and just in a few months after you marry them, they're divorced that quickly. Sit there and try to counsel them and not listening to a word that even say. We need to recognize concerning what the Word of God says. Does this person even have the right to marry? Now, I want you to think about this. I didn't marry until I was 29 years old. So there was others that I dated before Betty, many others. And I tell you what, it's pretty sad pickings out there. I was thinking that I'm going to have to convert someone to Christ. And you think about concerning, I was dating this girl, and she was about 23 years old, real pretty. She was religious. We talked about the scriptures, but we were getting along well. And what happens many times is the devil going to deceive you and putting the religion behind you, those disagreements, we get along so well, we can just wait for that later. But it just so happened that my brother was going through the situation, and we were talking about that through that time. My brother didn't have a right to marry this girl, didn't have the scriptural right. And so we were talking about concerning that. One man, one woman for life with the one exception. You know, Matthew 19, verse 6 and 9. What God has joined together, let not man separate. So we were talking about that. And as a result, you know, she got to thinking about that. I thought no big deal about it. And she thought about the scriptures that I mentioned. And you know what? She didn't ever have the right to marry. Now, what would have happened if I would have married that girl? I would have been committing adultery no matter how honest and sincere I was. I didn't ask any question. You know, the philosophy, you know, going back to Washington, D.C., don't ask, don't tell. You know, 1993, you remember that? Don't ask, don't tell. It might cost you your soul if you don't ask the questions. Now, see, if I'd have done that, I'd have been committing adultery. Would I be preaching the gospel now? Probably not, and should not. Because the problem would be, if I married somebody like that, you know, I'd probably try to defend that and teach that and spread that false doctrine and spread that error. Because, as I mentioned before, concerning those, there are adulterers in the pulpit and will defend error and say, whatever you desire to do, let us look at the scriptures. We're going to find somebody who has a right to marry by God's word. Mention Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. We didn't mention Romans 7 the other night, so we'll mention, look at that passage in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 2, so the married woman is bound by law to her husband. How long? While he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, what is she going to be called? Ah, she's just a free person. What does it say? It says she shall be called an adulteress, but if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. You think about concerning, are we asking the question concerning who we're going to marry? One who has a right to marry by God's word? Think about that concerning that, young people. Think about your life. Those of us who have chosen, we're going to be married, we better be faithful to that vow until death. God forbid what we would separate what God has joined together. God forbid that we should do such a thing. And yet, it's so sad to hear that in just recent months, you know, here are Christians that we knew, that we worshiped and attended with, and they divorced. Yes, it happens among even those Christians who are married to one another. You see how the world has been such a great influence upon Christians? Now, when we think about concerning a faithful Christian or an unbeliever, what should we choose? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, and then the Apostle Paul said this. He said, do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Right to take along a believing wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 3, notice you think about concerning this example here. In verse 1, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. You know what happens usually is concerning some man is interested in a girl. Many times she is a Christian. And you know, she is so interested in that girl and interested in what she believes. Are you going to have the conviction to teach them concerning the gospel? You know, I'm interested in this guy. I'm interested in this individual. You're going to say, will you come to services? Will you study the Bible? Will you study the Word of God with me? Before you allow your emotions to get out of control to where you love this person and love this individual, and it doesn't matter, you know, concerning the future, you know, we'll, you know, the devil trying to get us to delay, you know, we'll get to a little bit later on how dangerous that is. Are you saying, Steve, that it's a sin to marry a non-Christian? No, because there's only one reason, one exception for a divorce, isn't there? It's because of sexual immorality. But it's the most foolish decision, because you think about who's your father-in-law going to be spiritually? Just think about it. Your father-in-law is going to be the devil, and you'll be fighting with him every day of your life. Think about that. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 said, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. How many prayers are hindered because you married a non-Christian? Betty and I know some wonderful, wonderful Christians who are married to unbelievers. Understanding they would say it was a foolish decision. But what can you do now? You've got to continue to stay married. Lest, obviously, they commit adultery. You can put them away for that reason. But you think about concerning that and the lack of effectiveness that you can have concerning hospitality. How are you going to be hospitable, invite the brethren over? Well, my spouse isn't going to allow that. Have Bible studies in my home. Not going to allow that. What about concerning your children? Your children are going to say, well, Daddy doesn't go, Mama doesn't go, and thus their hearts are going to be divided as a result, because they're going to love their mother or their father, but they aren't serving God. Why should I have to? See, it takes conviction. Why don't we start out from the beginning doing what's right? Mary, I didn't just say a Christian. I'm talking about a faithful Christian, one is going to help you to go to heaven. When we think about concerning that, we're going to marry someone who agrees that marriage is for life. Most people don't agree with that today. Talked about that concern the other night. Betty had a cousin, desired to get married, and you know, I didn't do that ceremony. And you know what their vows was? As long as our love shall last. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that romantic? Isn't that wonderful? It lasted for a very short time. I think a couple years or something like that. That as long as our love shall last. That's the wisdom of this world. We're going to marry someone who even agrees that marriage is for life, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, how about this one? Is that girl you're dating? Have you asked him the question? Are you going to be willing to submit Now, we're not talking about being a tyrant. Somebody's got a Saddam Hussein kind of leadership, that kind of mentality or philosophy. But what the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Now, that wasn't an absolute as to the Lord. You know, concerning some that have been taught concerning this, you know, you've got to submit. Wives have been told to submit, and they're Christian. Their husbands are not Christians. And I've got to do what he says. He's telling me not to go to services. Now, what am I going to do? No, you don't have to obey that command. The Lord comes first, doesn't he? Tells you to do something sinful and evil and wicked, lie, cheat, or steal. No. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. The Lord comes first. But other than that, wives have got to submit themselves. Just as a church is subject to Christ, so also ought to be the wives to be their own husbands in everything. The husband has the leadership role in the home. They need to submit. Are they going to agree to that? You better ask that question. How many women here concerning submit, and somebody just here in their marriage submit? I'm not going to submit to him. We need to think about it and consider. One, who will submit? Well, you say, well, many times we leave the husband out. Well, what about the responsibilities there? Well, Ephesians 5, verse 25, you girls, if you ask your husbands or future husbands, you know, are you going to be willing to sacrifice for me? Because you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are you going to be willing to give up yourself for me? Are you going to be willing to do that? Have you asked these kind of questions? Now, we think about concerning our responsibilities now. Maybe you're already married. Are we fulfilling these responsibilities before God? Concerning our choices in life, concerning who you will marry, but also concerning being faithful to those vows until death and carrying out those commandments on an everyday basis. Are we doing that? Are we making those important choices in life and continuing to do so? And thus, when you come to the end, we need to marry someone who will help you to go to heaven. Well, that's just like a preacher would say something like that, huh? I tell you what, I can remember somebody telling me, you know, that you ought to be preaching the gospel. This was in the late 80s. It was even before I really became a Christian. It's interesting that I didn't obey the gospel. This lady had said, you know, you ought to be preaching, because I had the opportunity, was at Nova University. You know, you could actually teach the Bible in class. You can preach a sermon. You know, depending upon, you know, whatever class I was in, and just so happened to be in this class, and I could preach. You know, this lady said, you ought to be preaching. I said, I can't do it without a good wife. I knew I wasn't capable. I'm on my own. It's not good for man to be alone. Need a helper. I'm thankful to God for Betty. And this is another thing you can think about and consider. Have you ever considered praying about your future spouse? You remember concerning Abraham's servant and praying concerning that individual? I prayed concerning my future spouse, and it was just a couple months later that I met Betty after I obeyed the gospel. You think God cares about who you marry? Why don't you pray for wisdom about that? Why don't you look in Proverbs 31 to look for that worthy woman? See those characteristics in the scriptures. Also, parallel, you think about, well, what about the worthy man? Well, what about Job? You look at Job chapter 31. Look at the characteristics of Job and concerning his life for a man to marry. Have you thought about it, considered that? Have you prayed concerning that? The most important decision probably ever make. Who are you going to marry? Because it's either going to lead or help you to eternal life or to eternal damnation. Think about that, my friends and brethren. Think about concerning your life. So I'd like to ask you this morning, would you like to serve the devil? Would you like to serve the devil? What an invitation. See, many are going to follow the broad way that leads to destruction. Many are following that broad way. The devil is deceiving so many people. Instead of being in the devil in the Lord's army, would you like to be in the devil's? The obvious answer is no. We think about concerning, there's one point I was just thinking about concerning. You know, your wives will tell you that the truth concerning your sermons. I appreciate your encouragement. I missed some points yesterday. But we might have been here another 20 or 30 minutes. But concerning, somebody asked a question concerning, what do you mean by that point? concerning the, you know, the talent and abilities. What do you mean by that? Aren't we supposed to use your talents and abilities in the Lord's service? You know, Steve, you've got the ability to preach, and you're using that ability and talent. You know, my talent and ability is to play the piano. So I want to play the piano for the Lord. And that's my talent. Why can't I use my talent in the Lord's service? Because it's not authorized. Sing and make melody with what? Not with a piano, but to the Lord. Think about somebody else saying that, you know, my talent and ability, you know, is being a cheerleader. I'm really good at that. What are we talking about concerning modest dress? What are we talking about concerning dancing, sexual immorality, sensuality, lasciviousness? Depending on your translation, Galatians 5, verse 19. That's my ability. And you know, some I'm talking about concerning Christians are defending this. I mean, we know a gospel preacher who had a daughter, several that we know of, daughters that are cheerleaders. How ungodly is that? To show the flesh to the world in order to be popular. And now we're going to try to defend that? We got to use our talent and ability in the Lord's service. Whatever it might be. It's been talked about the other night concerning maybe you can't preach, maybe you can't lead singing. But you can be useful. You can be that hand or eye. You can be that arm. You can be that leg. You can be, as a part of the body of Christ, you use your talents and abilities in the Lord's service. We think about concerning the, we start off the lesson concerning Romans 6 and verse 16. We are the servants of God, or we're servants of the devil. Which are you right now? The Lord knows, and you know. You're of an accountable age. You know whether you're serving God or whether you're serving the devil, or you're allowing yourself to be deceived. The peer pressure is a peer pressure. Have you thought about concerning your life, concerning when you obeyed the gospel of Christ? I baptized several individuals, went back to their time and just thought, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. Or I obeyed the gospel because of my parents, my grandparents, relatives, whatever it might have been. And we're talking 20, 30, 40, or 50 years. And you think about concerning how sad it's going to be in the judgment day, thinking that I obeyed the gospel of Christ, you know, and never truly did obey the gospel of Christ. Acts 19, verse 5. When they heard, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That might be your situation. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. You might be of an accountable age right now and to recognize, I need to obey the gospel of Christ. There's going to be a judgment day. Are you subject to heaven's invitation? Now is the day of salvation. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You do well. The demons also believe and they tremble. It's not enough to believe, is it? Accept Christ as your personal Savior? That's all you have to do? Pray the sinner's prayer? No. You need to repent. Unless you repent, you all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. That doesn't leave anybody out, does it? Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through that man which he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. How do we know there's going to be a judgment day? God raised Jesus from the dead. We have all these witnesses in the Scriptures. They could testify even as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 500 men! And they could have asked him. Most of them were still alive at that time. We've got the eyewitness testimony. There is going to be a judgment day. And notice we got before all this, before confessing Jesus before men and before baptism. Because if you're not willing to repent, there's no reason to be baptized. It's not going to do you any good. You're only getting wet. But if you believe, repent, willing to confess before men, confess Jesus before men, before this assembly, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, somebody will bury you in baptism, that you might rise to walk in newness of life. You might go on your way rejoicing, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. No, just water just sprinkled on or poured upon. They went down into the water and came up out of the water. Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. Romans 6, verse 3, buried with him in baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life. We will rejoice with you. Is there any way that we can help you? Obey the gospel. Make that decision today. Are you serving God or are you serving the devil? You're going to make that final decision. But you know what? The devil is going to want you to delay and delay and delay and delay. Now is the day of salvation. It is too late when the judgment day comes. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. When Jesus Christ is willing to suffer and die a cruel and agonizing death, He was willing to forgive those murderers. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's available to all. We just meet His conditions of forgiveness. We are unworthy of salvation. Why not obey? You can be saved. You can go on your way rejoicing. Many brethren to help you. Many brethren to encourage you. Be faithful unto death that you might receive that crown of life. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be restored, God calls, we encourage you to come. Our name stands to you.